does not apply. So part of the perek was discussing how do you determine whether any given animal is a behema or a chaya. What if it's a mixed marriage? The father is a behema, the mother is a chaya, the father is a chaya, the mother is a behema. We had a whole discussion. So on this daf, the theme of the daf is that dam in Kol HaTorah Kula has to be red. If you have the plasma of the dam that's colorless or it's white, whatever, clear, that's not Dalpi Din Dam. Yechayv Koris if you eat dam, only the red part. The mitzvah kisei adam is only if it's the red part of the dam. What else? When you zark the dam am in the mizbeach, it has to be a marad mum, it has to be red. Anisha nido, if he has a riyaz dam, so that's mishnayis and nido. It has to be a mara odam. Then dam is one of the seven mashkin, that's machshel lekabel tumah. Oichlam aron lekabel tumah if you rinse them off. So you have to rinse it off with a mashke. So what's considered a mashke? If you rinse it off with orange juice, apple juice, that doesn't count. So there are seven mashkim that Halacha recognizes as a mashke. So one of the seven mashkim is dam. The Gemara says again, the dam is only machshel lekabel tumah if it has a marad mumis. If it's the plasma, if it's lalosa de dam, if it's you leave dam in the sunlight, so it's the red part, the red blood corpuscles are going to separate from the plasma. Then if you took the plasma and you put it on Neuchlim, it doesn't have a din of dam, it's not machshel lekabel tumah. So that was the theme of the whole daf. So the Gemara says another din, noch din. All the dinim that depend on dam has to be marad mumis. We had dam anidon, dam by korbanis, and kisei adam, and so on. Another din is that revi'is dam and ames is metami ba'ohel. If a person donates blood while he's alive, that's dam and achai. So that dam is not metami. But if a person died, let's say a person bleeds to death. So first, a little bit of blood that comes out, that's dam and achai. But when the blood starts to change its color, then you can tell that dam shanashama yotzebo. There's a critical amount of dam that you have to have in order to keep alive, in order that the blood circulates and the body keeps the person alive. Ki adam hu anefesh. So when enough dam comes out, then the person is considered dead. And then when the dam, after he's dead already, then the dam continues to come out, so that's dam and ame. So dam and ame says metam. How much do you need? So the halacha says a revi is dam. So the Gemara says, we're on the last five lines, on the peizainam base. So the Gemara says, six lines on the bottom. V'masnita tana, there's a brisa that says, metam boil v'hudika revis. If it has a marad mumis of dam, it's metami boil, just like if you have a mace or a kazayis men mace. Someone cut out a kazayis basam men mace or kazayis men mace, it's metami boil. So a revi is dam men mace, it's also metami boil. If a person bleeds to death, so that's called dam tevusa. Dam tevusa, that's a mishnah in the end of Nida. So you have dam men achai mixed in with dam men mace. So you have to know, do you really have a revi is dam men mace? Did so much come out after he died, or did it all come out before he died? So there has a whole discussion at the end of Nidus. Here it says, if you have revi'is dam min ames, and the dam min ames has a reddish color, so then it's metamid boil. So the Gemara says, tanan hasam, we have, it's not really a mishnah. Usually tanan means that it's a mishnah. Here it's not a mishnah, here it's a tosefta. Okay, so we have a source to, how are you going to say, tanya hasam? It doesn't sound good. So tanan hasam, we have a source, it's not really a mishnah. Kol mashka ames tahorim chutz midomai. Any other fluid that comes out from a mace is not metami bohol, only dam, only if it's a marad mumis. B'chol marad mumis eba metami bohol. And any, the blood that's red is metami bohol. The plasma is not red, it's not metami bohol. What is mashke hameis tahorim? So Rashi writes, mashke hameis kigon dimas eino. B'chol avisha, let's say a woman died and she had milk in her breast, and after she died, then they took out the milk from the breast. So if you have a revius of milk, that's not metame. That's not dam. A revius of cholav minoisha is not metame. Odim aseino, how can you have a revius? A person, while he's alive, cries. Let's say a person died. So if you can kvetch ice tears after the person dies, you have a whole cup full of tears, that's a mashke menames, is not metame. The only mashke menames metame is dam menames. Sure. Fregdig marakasha, three lines from the bottom. Is that true? Umashke hameis tahorim. Is that true? That other mashkim that come from a mace, namely Rashi says, cholavisha, adim aseino, the tears, somehow they get they extract tears from the person after he died. Frag di Gemara Uriminhu. We have a Mishnah in Tvul Yom. It says on the side of the Mishnah that says, Mashke, what is a Tvul Yom? What is a Tvul Yom? A Tvul Yom, let's say a person is Tomei. Various kinds of Tomei. Person is Tomei. So every Tomei has to go to Mikveh in order to become Tohar. Sometimes it's not so easy to go to Mikveh. Sometimes you have to wait a week. You have to wait Shivas Yamim. You have to wait Shiva Nikim sometimes. But then ultimately you have to go to Mikveh. Even if a person is a Tomei Meis, and the Chumash says you have to get paraduma ashes, you have to shech the paraduma and then burn it and take the ashes, mix the ashes with water. Then you do hazah shlishi yishvi. Let's say he went to the funeral on Monday, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday shlishi, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, so Sunday shvi. So you have to do hazah shlishi yishvi. He's a tohar al atomi. Someone who is tohar has to sprinkle the mechatas, the paraduma water, on the tomei in order to make him tohar, but that doesn't make him tohar. After you have hazor shlishi shvi, then he actually has to go to the mikveh. When you go to the mikveh, then you become tohar. People forgot that part. They think you do paradume is metar the tamei meis. Paradume makes him able to go to the mikveh. The punchline is the tamei meis has to go to the mikveh after hazor shlishi shvi. So tvoyom means a person who went to mikveh, but he has to wait till tzeis hakachavim of the following day. Let's say he had Hazor Shlishi Shvi, he went to a funeral on Monday, and then he waited a year. There is no, he waited 10 years till Mashiach came and they made a Paraduma. Fine. So he can have the first day to make a Paraduma. It's already 3 days after he went to the funeral 10 years ago. So when they make the Paraduma, that's already Shlishi. You can't have the first Hazor from the Paraduma water before the third day. It's already a Yorna Mitvach. It's already a year in many days. So then you have the Hazor. Then you have 4 days later, you have the second Hazor. Then he has to go to Mikveh. So after the person goes to the Mikveh, then he's still Tameh with respect to eating Truma until Tzeis HaKachom following. Even though it's already 10 years after he went to the funeral. And he's having Hazor Shel Shishvi way later. Still, whenever you go to Mikveh, you have to wait till Harav Shemesh, till Tzeis HaKachom following. So what's the din of a person who went to Mikveh and he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh? So we call him a Tvul Yom. He was Tovel today. So what's the din? So on the Chumash, Tosis quotes the Mishnah. Tosis quotes it from the Yevam Mistaf Ayin Daled, but it's Mishnah is like that. That Tovel V'Yola, a person goes to the Mikveh and he comes out, he's tohar for all purposes of chulin and for purposes of eating ma'aser sheni. A tami is not permitted to eat ma'aser sheni. That's when you say vidui ma'aser on erev Pesach of the fourth year, or erev Pesach of the seventh year. So you say in the vidui ma'aser, I observed all the dinim like labiyatani mani b'tami. I didn't consume the ma'aser sheni in a state of tumah. So the din is that with respect to eating ma'aser sheni, as long as he went to the mikveh, he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh. Tovel V'Yola, he walks out of the mikveh, Oichel B'Maiser, he's permitted to eat Ma'aser Sheni. He's not in violation of the din of Lo Bi'arta M'mena B'Tomei, I didn't consume the Ma'aser Sheni in the state of Tumah. Or if the Tvul Yoyim, who didn't yet have a Harav Shemesh, if he's going to touch Oichlim, Kelim, Mashkim, he's going to touch anything that's chulin, it won't be mekabel tumah. But if he touches, he's not allowed to eat truma, and if he touches truma, he passels it. He's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to touch karbonis. If he touches karbonis, he passels them. That's a din deraisa. That's psukim and chumash. That a tful yom, person who was tevil in the mikveh, didn't yet have Har Shemesh, didn't yet wait till Tzeis HaKacham following going to the mikveh, that he's not permitted to eat truma, and if he touches the truma, he'll passel it. How do you know it touches truma? Because the pasuk says when you're tevil a kli, if a kli is tummy, you're tevil the kli in the mikveh, then it says zavah Hashemesh v'toher. When you'll have bi'ah shimsha, when you have tzeis hakochavim following, whenever you tevil the kli became tummy 10 years ago. I'm tevil the kli today, so then it says zavah Hashemesh v'toher. What's the problem? The kli is going to eat ma'aser sheni. The kli is going to eat truma. The kli can't eat anything. It means if you'll put truma in the kli, it'll become pasul. So that's a beferish pasuk that a tvul yom not only is not permitted to eat truma or kach him, if he's going to touch the truma, the kach him, he'll passel it.
What is he shlishi l'tumah then? Like a shlishi
l'tumah? Not even. If a person, the din is a mace, it's called avi avos hatumah. when someone goes to the funeral, the Chevra Kadisha touched the mace, or you're in the same room with the mace, so the tumah is transmitted from the mace to the living people. So whatever the tumah is transmitted, it goes down a madrega. So the mace himself is called Avi Avois HaTumah. When someone touches the mace, or is an oil mace, it becomes an Av HaTumah. When he shakes my hand, I didn't attend the funeral, he shakes my hand, so he's an Av HaTumah, he makes me a Rishon LeTumah. Rishon LeTumah can only be Metami Ochel Mamashkin, can't be Metami Odom or Kelim. Only four things that are Mekabel Tumah, Odom, Kelim, Ochel, Mamashkin. So an Av Avi Avois HaTumah can be Metami any one of the four. Once you get to told this, it's not an av, it's only a rishon alone, then it's only metami ochel mamashkin. So by chulin, the tum only goes to the level of sheni. It can't pass sheni. By trume, it goes to the level of shlishi. By kochim, it goes to the level of revi. And by paradum, it goes to the level of chamishi. That's the Rashi Mishnah's quotes of Tosefta like that. That it goes to chamishi, that's all. Chamishi, revi, these don't exist on the level of Darius. It's impossible. The Gemara Pesachim, at the end of the first paragraph, explain. Can never be. Dinim de Rabbonim. So the Tfilyom, strictly speaking, he was an Av HaTumah. When he goes to the mikveh, he's Tohar. So you don't say, he used to be an Av HaTumah, now he becomes a Rishon LeTumah. Strictly speaking, he's Tohar. He's Tohar, but it's a Din. The Tfilyom is also a Truma, and he passes Truma. He doesn't. Min HaTorah, he doesn't make the Truma into a Shlishi. If you have something as a sheni, you can make the truma into a shlishi if it touches. But the tvoyom on the level of the raisa is not considered tomei at all. Just the pasul's truma if he touches. That's the end of the line. That truma will be pasul. That truma will touch kachim and won't make it a revi. It won't. That's the end of the line. It's not going to go any further. But the rabbanon, there's a din over here. That's the gemara is going to say dinim the rabbanon. So the first din it says over here, ba'atanan, the gemara says uraminu the eskakasha. Mashke Tvulyom, if a person went to the mikveh and he didn't yet have Hirushemesh, so what's the din of the mashkim that come out from his body? What do you mean mashkim? Let's say it's a woman and she has cholov, or it's a, you have dimaseno, tears that come out from the eyes. So the mashke, any mashke that comes out from the Tvulyom has the same status as kimashkim shenigebehem, has the same din as if you have a cup of water and the Tvoyoim touches the water, so if a Tomei touches the water, he makes it Tomei a level lower, whatever he was. If he's an Av, he makes it a Rishon. If he's a Rishon, he makes it a Sheni. Whenever you transmit, the Tumah goes down a Madrega. But over here, he's a Tvoyoim, so the Mashkim that he touches are Tohar Legamri. It doesn't become Tomei. Mashke Tvoyoim, the Dimaseno, the tears that come out from his eyes, he's alive. The Tvoyom is a living person. He went to mikveh, didn't yet have Har Shemesh, and he touches Mashke, so, and tears come out from his eyes, a cholov comes out from her body, so that has the same status, Kemashkem Shenegeh, Mem has the same din, as if he would have touched the Mashke, and what's the same din? Ela v'ela, ain't him a tamim. There's no tumah at all. There's no tumah at all. However, Ushar Kol HaTameim, but if a person is really Tomei, he didn't go to mikveh yet. He didn't go to mikveh yet. Ushar Kol HaTameim, here Taisus has a comment. Who are you talking about here? Mashkim Shenegeh Behem is Tohar. Until Yom touches Mashkim is Tohar. What kind of Mashkim are you talking about? So if you're talking about Chulin or Maisa Sheni, so the Tvoyom is Tohar Legamre. So of course what he touches is not a problem. If you're talking about kachim, so Tesis, if the mashkim that he's touching is kachim, so Tesis quotes in the end of Masachas Nida that midirabbanon it will be tomei. So Tesis forces the pshat in this mishnah. This is a mishnah. What is this? This is a braisa. Is that braisa a mishnah? Okay, it's both. Part of it is a mishnah, part is a braisa. So the mishnah, the braisa over here is talking. He's touching truma. He's touching truma. So the din is added for yom. A Tvoyom, if he touches Mashkim, is not Metame yet. Ain't a Metamim, is not Tome, but it's Pasel. A Tvoyom Pasel's Truma if he touches it. But it's not Metame. But if he would have touched Mashkim, that would be Kochim, then he would be Metame yet Midirabbanim. But then it says, a Shar Kol HaTameim, if a person is Tome, he didn't yet go to Mikveh, what's the din? Ben Kalim, Ben Chamur, whether it's a Tuma Kal or Tuma Chamur, the different levels of Tuma. Doesn't matter whether it's a more serious level or a less serious level. The halacha is mashkim hayetzim mehem ke mashke hanegeh behem. The mashkim that he touches, he'll be metame because he didn't go to mikveh yet. So he'll transmit tumah to the mashkim. And the same thing is Dimaseno, the same thing if he cries, so the tears that come out of his eyes, or the cholov that comes out from the isha, mashkem ayotze mehem, has the same din as mashkem shenigeh behem, elu v'elu t'chilo. All of these mashkem have a din of rishon l'tuma. Have a din of rishon l'tuma. Chutz ben mashkem shehu av hatuma. That's in Chumash. Sometimes you have a person, let's say a person is a zav. So the pasuk says, "B'chiyorek hazav batohor." If the zav will spit, and the saliva will land on somebody, so the roko in zovo and meimei raglov, the meimei raglaim of a zav, and the roke, the saliva of the zav is metame. So that's called mayonis hazav. The Gemara usually calls it mayonis hazav. Rashi over here quotes that technical term. Mayonis hazav only applies the three mashkim. Rashi says. Zova, Rova, Roka, Meme, Raglov, and Sheikh Vazera, these are all Mayonas Azab. That has a din of Avhatuma. The Zab is an Avhatuma, and the three Mayonas Azab are Avhatuma. But other Mashkim, the Maseno, the tears that come out, or the Cholavisha that comes out, that only has a din as if the Zab would have touched Mashkim. So the Mashkim, the din is that. Urchim Mashkim, the four categories of things that are Makabal Tum, Odom, Mikhail, Machim Mashkim. So the Odom Mekalim have tefillah b'mikveh, Urchim Mashkim do not have any tefillah b'mikveh. And even though Rashi always says, and even though if you have maim that's tummy, you can do hashoke, you pour the water, let's say this a cup, and all the liquid, all the water inside is tummy. So if I lower the cup into a mikveh, and the water in the cup is touching, connected with the water in the mikveh, that's called hashoke. So the water that's tummy becomes tahar. So does not indicate that the water that's tamei, you have other liquids that are tamei, hashoka does not, only if it's water. It does not show that water has tefillah in a mikveh. So whenever the Gemara says that there's no tefillah in a mikveh for Ochlam and Mashkim, so Rashi always says, no, that's a different din. That's called Zriya. It's a different din. It's a din, let's say a potato became tamei, then you plant it in the ground and it takes root. So even though the potato was tamei, but once it becomes mechubel karka, then the tumah disappears. So when you pour water in a puddle that didn't take root, that's not called zriya. So the Gemara says no. Rashi always quotes. The Gemara quotes a pasuk of zareh maim al pnei chutzas, a pasuk in Novi. When you have a puddle of water sitting on the ground, the pasuk refers to it as if there's a zriya. So if you have water that's tamei and you lower the container of the water, and the water that's tamei inside is connected, is linked up with the water in the mikveh, so that's considered as if you did zriya. It's not that the water has tefillah in the mikveh, the water has zriya, that's how it becomes tahor. So the Gemara says, we learned this Gemara, next to the last daf in Erevin, the last Amud Beis in Erevin, so the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that ochlum amashkim can never become an av hatumah. Kol she'en latar b'mikveh in anasa av hatumah. So let's say you have someone dies in a room, so everybody in the room, or the mekelim, they all become an av hatumah. What if there's ochlam amashkim in the room? The ochlam amashkim can never become an av hatumah. Even though when the tumah is transmitted, it goes down one madrega, then it's transmitted again, it goes down another madrega. Here, the meis is avi avoy satumah. So the people, or the mekelim in the room, become av hatumah, but the ochlam amashkim can't become an av hatumah. They can never become. Because dovish ain't latar b'mikveh, ochlam amashkim, having latar b'mikveh, ain't an av hatumah. So it'll become a rishon latumah. So that's what it says over here. Elu v'elu. if the person is tummy and he didn't yet go to mikveh, that's the top line in Shar Kol HaTmeim, who didn't go to mikveh, so whatever mashkim is going to touch, well, he's an av hatumah, so it goes down a madrega, of course it's going to be a rishon, but the halacha is that ochel mashkim can never be higher than a rishon the tumah. Except chutz min mashkim shehu av hatumah, if it's the mayonis azav Roko, Memi Raglov, and Shichvazarai, so that becomes an Avatum. Fine. So the Gemara wants to know what's Pshat and Ed Bryson? That it says, if Shar Kol HaTameim, Bein Kala Ben Chamur, and whether it's a Tumah Kala or Tumah Chamura, the din is that the Mashkim that come out from his body, the Dimaseno, the tears that come out of the Cholavisha that comes out, has the same status as Mashkim HaNegebem, that'll be a Rishon LeTumah. What's called the Tumah Chamura, what's called the Tumah Kala? What is the Mishnah referring to? That's what the Gemara asks. My Kala and my Chamura, what are the lighter levels of Tumah? What are the more serious levels? The Gemara says, my Laf, probably Pshat is the following. Tumah Kala is a Sheretz, a dead. The Rishmona Shratzim, there are eight rodents that are mentioned, singled out in the Chumash. Acholid v'achva v'atzov, and so on. So those eight, one of them is a mouse, a dead mouse. So dead mouse is metami b'maga. If you go to the A&P, you pick up a piece of flesh, that's nevela. So nivelas v'em is metami b'maga u'b'masa. Even though it's wrapped up, and you pick it up in the package, there's no maga, but if you pick it up, that's called tumas masa. So you also become tummy. If you pick up a dead mouse, but you don't pick it up by the tail, let's say you had a mouse trap, and the mouse got caught, and it's dead now. Sometimes mouse is still alive. But let's say the mouse is clearly dead. So you pick it up, a dead mouse is the Shemana Shotzim. It's not metami b'masa, only metami b'maga, if you actually touch the body of the mouse. But you just touch the trap, that's called masa. I pick up the mouse without touching it. So there's not tumas masa by the Shemana Shotzim, only tumas masa by nevela. And by Adam who dies, we call him a different name. A dead body we call a mace. A dead behemoth that didn't have shechita, we call it nevela. A dead human being, we give him a different name. We call him a mace because it's not only metami b'maga b'masa, it's even metami b'ohel. Maga means if you let's say the chevra kadisha, they touch the mace. Masa, someone is carrying the coffin, so he's not touching the mace. The mace is all in the box over there. But it's masa he's carrying, and then there's a din of tumas ohel. Even the people are not carrying the mace, they're in the same room. There's a roof on top, they're in the same room, under the same ohel. That's also a mace is mentami b'maga masa boel. So the Gemara says, my love, what's pshat in the Mishnah? That shar kol atmeim, any tummy who didn't go to mikveh yet, whether it's a tumach kalo or tumach hamura, so the mashkim that come out from his body are tummy like a rishon the tumah. What's tumah kala? What's tumah hamura? My love, probably. Kala means sheretz v'zav. A sheretz is a dead sheretz is an av hatumah. And a zav is also an av hatumah. And what's tumah hamura? Probably tumas meis, because a meis is metami ba'ohel. So meis is mochom, but then sheretz, a dead sheretz, the shmano shotzim are not metami ba'ohel. And the zav is not metami ba'ohel, it's only metami b'mago v'masa. So the Gemara says, my love, that's probably pshat in the Mishnah, the charcoal at the name, whether it's a tumakala, tumachamura. Tumachamura means a dead mace, and tumakala means a zav or a dead sheretz. So it says, the mashkim hayotze migufa, the demaseno, and the cholavisha would have the status like a rishon l'tuma. So how did you tell me before that other mashkim only if a person is dead, and dam comes up with a marad mumis, that's metami ba'ohel, but other mashkim from the meis are toher legamri. It's against the Mishnah. Doesn't the Mishnah say b'feirish that shar mashkim from a tumachamura probably means a meis, shar mashkim from tumachamura has a din like an afhatumah. So the Gemara says, lo, wrong, that's not what it means. Tumachamura doesn't go a meis. The mashkim that come from a meis other than dam are toher legamri. When it says in the Mishnah that a Tomei who didn't go to mikveh yet, so the mashkim that come out from his body have a din like a rishon l'tumah, that's with the kalim and the chamurim. The chamurim is the zav and the kalim is a sheretz. A dead sheretz, a dead mouse, only metami b'maga, not metami b'masa. A zav is metami b'maga, b'masa, b'heset. The zav has much more tumah. He sits on a mishka v'moshe, he's metami the chair. So the Gemara said, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Not that Tmeim Kalim is Sheretz and Zav and Tumachamur is Mace. No, the Mishnah is not talking about Mace. The other Mashkim by Mace are not Metamiru. Like we said before, Sharkola Mashkim that are not Marad Mumis from a Mace are not Metamiru. Only Damina Mace. But Tumakala is mentioned in the Mishnah refers to a Sheretz, only Metami Bemaga. Tumachamur is referring to a Zav, he's Metami Bemaga, Bemasa, Behesit, and he makes Mishka Bemaisha of Shai. Why did they make such a kakite system of alochas? All the dinim have to fit into a pattern. So if a mace has a higher level of tumah, mace is metamid ba'ohel. Mace, everybody agrees, mochomer than a zav, and it's mochomer than a sheretz. So you say, the mashkem of a dead sheretz, ametame midirabonah, has a din like a rishon. And the mashkem of a zav, ametame midirabonah. But the mashkem of a mace are not metame. Why not? We're talking about the dimaseino, the tears that come out, or the cholavisha that comes out when the person is tummy. So why did they make a chumer midrabbanan only by a zab and by a dead sheretz? They didn't make the gzer derabbanan, the tumah midrabbanan on other mashkin from a mace. Damen a mace is a din deraisa, but other the cholav from a mace, even midrabbanan not. Why not? The dinim have to fit into a whole pattern, a whole system. It's kakait over here. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Maishna meis the logos be rabbanan. How come by meis they didn't make a chumim rabbanan, and by zab they did? Maishna zab the logos be rabbanan. Maishna meis logos rabbanan. And for the Gemara zav, people don't know the guy's a zav. He's walking around a shul. And he's alive. He's alive, and the people don't know what's doing in his body. So the Gemara says, "Zav dila b'deli in shemineh." People are not going to stay away from him. He's alive, and he has some medical condition that he has ziba coming out from his body. That's not normal. So they had to make a gzera de rabbana that not only is the zav tami, even the tears, even the cholavisha is also metami. Because of the rabbana, of a mace, a dead body, everybody stays away from a dead body. He's dead. So mace, the bidei, the inch b'nei, the common practice is everybody stays away from mace. They didn't feel that it's necessary. They didn't have to make an gzera de rabbana. You're not supposed to make a gzera de rabbana to make chumras unless you feel that there's a major need. If you have an insignificant need, you have no right to make a gzera. The chachamim, it's a big problem. How do the chachamim have the right to make an gzeris? So it's based on the concluding pasuk in Achrei Mois, which matem is mishmarti. But you have to have a tzorach gadol. You have the Gemara has a loshen milsa de loshchicha legazer berabbanan. If you're only concerned that once in 100 years someone's going to carry the shofar on Shabbos when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, then they wouldn't aser tkiya shofar Rosh Hashanah chalias b'Shabbos. They're concerned every time Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, many people all over the world will forget and carry the shofar in the Rishus HaRab. So it's a real concern. So milsa de shchicha legazer berabbanan. If it's a far-fetched concern, they're not going to make a gzer de rabbanan. If they do, they're in violation of Bal Taisif. They weren't authorized to make gzeres de rabbanan unless they feel that this is a significant sorah. So that's what the Gemara says. Mace the daily in shemineh. People stay away from dead bodies. Chavik Adisha, that's their responsibility. But other people stay away from dead bodies. So there's no need to make a gzer de rabbanan. They have the right to make a gzer de rabbanan.
The milk that comes out is ochlam. Ochlam ain't latar b'mikveh. Ochlam amashkin, whatever. So ain't latar mikveh. So the most it can become is going to be a rishon. A rishon is not metame od mekele.
So is it a rishon minatar?
Yeah, probably is. It's a mashke, so it becomes tami from the mace.
It's a rabbanon, meaning that it should be like an av.
Yeah.
But it is minatar a rishon.
I think so. Probably is a rishon minatar, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shai, that was a side topic.
How does Rashi Kumari says the difference between the minus azov and the other mashka are the mitagel
and
mitasek?
Yeah. It collects in the body. Roko, a person is always developing saliva, so when you accumulate enough saliva and you didn't swallow it, then you have to spit it out. So that's called mitagel v'yotze. You collect it, let's say a person doesn't go to the bathroom all the time. Every couple of hours it goes to hatolos meiraglaim. So the mei raglayim is misagala collects, and then the yotze after a couple of hours, it feels he has to go. Cholavisha is not. I don't know why it's not called misagal v'yotze. I don't know. The Gemara says it's only these things. Only roko mei meragla m'shichva zara. That's called misagal v'yotze. It collects in the body. I don't know. Cholavisha is not. I'm not sure why. Yeah. So that was a side point. It's based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah of kisa dam if the dam. The Mishnah has if the dam got mixed in with a puddle of water. Are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of kisa dam if the dam is not bien? Dam is mixed in with water. Gemara says as long as it has a marad mumis, he's still in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the Gemara goes into this whole dissertation that's a din in dam and call it tarkula for the purpose of zrikas adam of karbonis. And dam is makshel lekabel tumme, and dam ameis is matam. You always need barad mum. It's fine. So that was a shas topic. Now the Gemara goes back. The next Gemara goes back to the topic of the Mishnah, hilchas kisei hadam. So the Mishnah says, on daf peizayin and base, the second line from the top of the daf, it says dam anitas. they used to shecht in the backyard, and they had a guma, they had a ditch. And when they would shecht right on top of the ditch, all of the dam would drip, would gush into the ditch. They didn't want to have the whole backyard all ruined with the dam all over the place. So they had a charitz. So what about dam hanitas? The dam, b'shashchita, spritzes chutz leguma. Or shalasaken, when he shechts the chai v'yof, so there's a little blood on the knife. So when you do kisa, the dam that came out after the shechita. So when you do kisa adam, do you have to do kisa adam? Is it enough to do kisa adam on the dam that's in the guma, in the ditch? Or do you have to do kisa adam even on the dam hanitas, that spritz chutz leguma, and the dam on the saken? So the Mishnah says, yes, chayv lechasas. You have to do kisa adam on all of them. Amar Rav Yehuda, wait a minute. Ema sai b'medvar ma'amurim. When do you have to do kisa adam on the dam on the knife, or the dam that spritz chutz leguma? That's only zman she'en sham dam elohu. If there's no other dam to do kisa adam, Rav Yehuda says, there's no requirement to do kisa adam on every speck of dam. You have to do kisa adam on some of the dam that comes out b'shashchit. Avo, yesham dam shaloihu. If there's other dam in the guma, so do kisa adam on the dam in the guma. There's no need to do patam al-chasa. There's no need to do the kisa adam on the dam that was nitas chutz leguma, or the dam on the saken. So the Gemara says that although usually, that's what Tosfos points out, although usually the Gemara tells us when you have such a presentation in the Mishnah, Tanakama makes a statement, Rabbi Yehuda qualifies it. Emasai, when is a statement true? Bisman shein sham dam alahu. So whenever Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying what the first line in the Mishnah says, it's only lefarish. It's not that there are two sheet. It's not that Tanakama says one way, Rabbi Yehuda is in disagreement. No. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda says emasai lefarish. So that's another prokem, another Mishnais. But here it's not so. Here we have a tradition that Rabbi Yehuda is in disagreement with the Tanakama. Tanakama says you have to do kisa dam on all of the dam that comes out. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. It's sufficient to do kisa adam, a miktsas min adam. So Tosfos points out this is a shaila in other areas of halacha. Whenever you have a pasuk and it's unclear how to interpret, doesn't mean you need all of the thing. A miktsas of the thing is enough. So Tosfos has apparent stiras that in other mesichtas you have a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the other chachamim, and the shitas are reversed. Here Rabbi Yehuda says miktsas dam is enough, and there Rabbi Yehuda says you need kol, whatever he's talking about there. Kol apsulim, kol aksube, whatever it is. And the Chachamim here say that you need kol, there they say miktsas enough. So Tosfos says that Tanoim had a feel, had a darshan psukim. We don't know how to darshan. Tanoim had a feel, had a darshan psukim. And in each pasuk, they darshan the way they thought that fits in best in the pasuk. So here the Tanakam is of the opinion you need kisei adam on all adam. Rabbi Yehuda says no, miktsas is good. Another psukim in Chumash, the Vishitas will be reversed. Each Tana looks at the context, and based on the context of the din, he'll determine whether he thinks the pshat and the pasuk is kol adover or miktsas min adover. So that's what the Gemara says. That here, even though Rabbi Yehuda says emasai, usually where Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying the previous statement in the Mishnah, he just clarifying what the Tanakhama meant. Here it's a machlokes. Here it's not lefarish. So that's what the Gemara says. Tana Rabbanan, about 10 lines from the top of Peches. Tana Rabbanan, we have a braisa vichi sehu. He has to cover the dam alameid shadam hanitas v'shala saken chayv lechas. You have to cover all of the dam, even the dam that spritz chutz leguma, and even the dam that's left on the knife. Amar Rabbi Yehuda emasai. When is that? Only bizman shein shem dam eluhu. You only have to do kisei adam on the dam on the knife or the dam nanitas if that's the only dam that's left. Avol, however, same as the Mishnah, yesh adam shalohu. There's other dam, potem alachas, no need to do kisei adam on all the dam, do kisei adam on some of the dam. So that's the first brisa, is mamish word for word, the same as the Mishnah. I don't know why they needed to quote the first brisa, it's just a repeat of the Mishnah. Okay. So the Giras and the Mishnah is correct, because we have a brisa that says the same thing. Fine. Tanya Yidach, you have another braisa, v'chisehu, you cover the dam, alamet, shekol dam mechayv lechasas. Kisei adam is required on all of the dam that comes. And mikan omru, based on this drasha, they said, dam anitav, shalagapayim chayv lechasas, you have to be mechasa, all the dam that comes out. Amrab Shemim Gamliel, so he qualifies it, he disagrees. Mamedvar mamurim, sholakisei dam anefesh. Not all the dam that comes out when you shech, when you first cut the neck, when you cut your finger, a little dam comes out, but then it clots and then it stops bleeding. So that's not dam. That's dam in achai. That's not dam shanashama. That's not dam shanashama yotzeba, and it's not dam in a mace either. That's dam and achai. So when you start shechting, so first it's going to be dam and achai. Then the color is going to change. It's going to be dam shana shama yotzebo. This yetzias adam is killing the person or the animal, and then it'll reach a point that so much dam came out, the animal is considered dead al pidin. Live and dead depends whether the blood is circulating. That's the Gemara in different places. Ki adam hu anevish, when the blood is still circulating, then the animal is considered alive, or the person is considered. The blood is no longer circulating, then the person and the animal is considered dead. So the Gemara says increases that the color of the blood changes. When you first start to bleed, so there's going to be one color red. Then there's so much bleeding taking place, this is killing the person. There's dam shana shama yotzebo, and then after so much dam came out, he bled to death. Then the dam that's going to continue is going to be dam and ames. That's going to have a different color. The Gemara in Preces has. It's going to have a different color, so you can tell. So Reb Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that you have to do kisei adam only on the dam shana shama yotzebo. The dam that comes out before, the dam that comes out after the animal is dead, but you don't need kisei adam. I'm Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Medvar Mamurim. When do I agree that you have to do kisei adam on all the dam? That's correct. That's only shalei kisei adam on nefesh. If he didn't fulfill the mitzvah kisei adam on the dam shana shama yotzebo, I will kisei adam on nefesh. But if he did kisei adam, he poured in the sawdust and he poured in the sand and the offer in all the dam that has that color, that is dam shana shama yotzebo. And then there's other dam that came out either before dam shana shama yotzebo or after it was dead already. So then he says, you're not mechuyev patim alachasas. You're not mechuyev to do kisei. So the Gemara says, b'mekom efligi. So Rashi points out there's shalosh machlekes b'dov. There are three different opinions over here. Gemara says, what's in the kudus machlekes over here? Rabbanan Tzarvi, the first shita over here, it's not Rabbi Yehuda qualifying, he's not explaining Tanakam, he's disagreeing with the Tanakam. Even though it says Eimasai, here he's in disagreement. That's how the Gemara said the Verish. Rabbanan Tzarvi, the first shita in the Mishnah holds Damai, Kol Damai. All the dam that comes out b'shar shchita. Even though some of the dam came out, the animal is still alive. That dam didn't kill the animal. And then some of the dam came out after the animal already is dead. The whole circulatory system collapsed. And the dam keeps on oozing out. You have to be mechasa all the dam that comes out. If you disagree, you say you don't need kol adam. If you have a dam off in the mixer's dam, as long as you do the mitzvah kisei adam on some of the dam. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds like the Tanakam, you have to cover all of the dam, kisei adam, all the dam, but all the dam is only dam hamiyuchot, only dam shanashama yotzebo. That's called dam hanefesh. But the dam that comes out before that, when you first start cutting, that's dam menachai, and the dam that comes out after the animal is already dead. So much dam came out, we declare the animal is dead. And it still keeps on, the animal still keeps on bleeding. So if you can separate the early dam and the late dam from the dam shana shama yotzebo, so then the Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you mukhiv to do kisei adam on all the dam, but only the dam shana shama yotzebo.
According to Reb Yehuda, you can do any type of, you could do kisei on any of the types of dam?
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. I was very surprised. Why should that be so? If an animal gets hurt, an animal stumbles and it starts bleeding. So there's no kisei adam, no mitzvah, only if he shechted it. So I would have thought, even with that, Reb Shimon Gamliel has a drasha from a pasuk, dam hamiyuchot, only the dam shana shama bo. I would have thought, even without a drasha, it's only the dam shana shama yotzeba, but I was outvoted. I wasn't entitled to a vote at all. They didn't ask my opinion. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds like that. The other Tanaim say not so. All the dam that comes out, even the dam and achai, the dam and ames, all the dam that comes out from the neck at the time of shechita is subject to the mitzvah of kisei adam. So Reb Yehuda's opinion is you cover any little bit, the mashu of that dam, yotze the mitzvah, you can cover a little bit. And Achama say no, you got to cover all of the dam. Even the dam and achai, and even the dam that keeps on dripping after the animal is dead already. But that's a definition of alive or dead. A live animal is when the blood is circulating, and a dead animal is no longer any blood circulation.
I think. What dam are they collecting? It's dam shechita, the first dam that comes out, not dam
and nefesh. Yeah, so the Gemara says, to be yotze, the mitzvah of zrikas adam on the mizbeach, has to be dam shana shama yotzebo. If you're just going to be Zorik, the dam that comes out in the beginning, or the dam that comes out after the animal is dead already, then you're not Yotze. It has to be from the dam. It's going to be mixed in with the other dam. Okay? But you only yotze the korban if you did zrikas hadam with the dam shanashama yotze bo. That's a Gemara. That's a Gemara.
The initial creases. Dam is not dam pasul. That would be an iser to be zorik.
I don't know why not, but that's what it seems like. I think it's a good kasha. How are you allowed to be zorik that dam? That dam is not. I don't know, but it would appear from the Gemara that it's not an iser.
The machlokas is totally. What's the reason for kisu adam? And that could be the reason for the machlokas. What's the reason? Why is there
kisu adam? Why is there a mitzvah kisu adam? That's a good question.
We can understand about focus.
Yeah, the Ramban HaChumash has a historical interpretation. We have a pasuk that's a difficult pasuk. Lo sochlo al adam. What do you mean lo sochlo al adam? So the Gemara has a whole series of interpretations on the pasuk. So one pshat is you're not allowed to eat before you dam shachris. Lo sochlo kodim shetispalo lo al dimcha. That's not pshuta shal mikra. That's an additional level of interpretation. Then the Gemara has another pshat. When you shech the korban, you didn't do zrikas adam yet. So if it's a shlomim, you're not allowed to eat the flesh. It's vachatas v'yoshim. The korban are not allowed to eat the flesh. Called man shadam b'mizra. Called dam. The dam is still in the klisharis. That's called the mizrok or the kuf at the end. Mizrok is a clear metal klisharis. That's also not pshuta shal mikra. Lo sochlo al adam. The Gemara has a third pshat. Sanhedrin shahargus hanefesh. Someone deserved the death penalty once in a yovel, once in 150 years. They gave the death penalty to someone in Arkansas, right? So they, so the day that they give them the death penalty, till the end of the day, they're not allowed to eat. So they have to starve. So the Mishnah says they would give the death penalty half an hour before the Shkia, so they only have to fast a half an hour. Don't use your brains. Don't give them the death penalty in the morning. You have to fast the whole day. But you give them the death penalty late in the day. So that's also an apshuta shal mikra. Losoch lal adam, you're not allowed to eat. The members, the 23 members of the Sanhedrin who gave the din and nefashas punishment, so they're not allowed to eat till the end of the day. That's not pshuta shal mikra. So what is pshuta shal mikra? What is pshuta shal mikra? More has more. I already forgot. More interpretations. So Ramban HaChumash claims that pshuta shal mikra is that in ancient times, a historical interpretation, ancient times, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah realized that they used to have an Avodah Zarah. They used to have a lot of znus. They used to have zoinus in the base Avodah Zarah. Why? Because life doesn't come yesh me'ayin. Life didn't happen by itself. It must. So when people have tashmish, so that brings a baby into the world. So there must be some deity. Must be some power like a deity over here. So they felt that, or let's say you plant things in the ground, something grows. So they thought the sun gives the power, things should grow. And the moon gives the power. And the earth gives the power. So they thought there's the power to give chiyus to vegetation. So it must have a power of a deity. And then the Gilead rice was very common because they thought that the znus has something to do. So when they knew that the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. So if it keeps an animal alive, there must be some power of a deity in the blood. So that when they would slaughter an animal, in order to eat it, they would eat an Avodah Zarah party with a pool of blood in the middle. They would sit around in a circle and have the blood in the middle with some Avodah Zarah incantation. So that's the Pshuto Shamika. The Ramban HaChumash says, Losoch Lal Adam. So the Torah says, we're not allowed to do that. That's an act of Avodah Zarah. And we have to do Kisi Adam. We should cover over the dam, so we shouldn't use it for Avodah Zarah purposes. That's what Ramban says. So I would have thought, if that's the reason why, you should need Kisa Kol Adam. You have to cover up all the dam. No, you don't want to use any of the dam for Avodah Zarah purposes. What? Why don't you require by Behema? I don't know. The Rambam writes in the end of the third section in the Mor Nevuchim, he gives a lot of Tamei HaMitzvahs. He tries to suggest explanations why what the mitzvahs represent. So then he says, even when you give Tamei HaMitzvahs, not going to explain the details of the mitzvahs. A lot of times we have a good understanding of what the mitzvah is supposed to represent, what lesson is it supposed to teach us, but it doesn't fit in with the details. It is a major detail. When you shech behemoth, there is no kisi adam. I don't know.
You have to use it for zrikas adam.
I mean for Karbonis, yeah.
And Ophos, he says, Ophos, most Ophos are
not used for Karbonis.
Most Ophos.
Okay. Yeah. But this Gemara that says there's a concept of Dam Shanashama Yotzebo that has a special status, Dam Shanashama Yotzebo, that's because the definition of life and death is when the blood is circulating, the person or the animal is alive. Blood is not circulating, the person and the animal is dead. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that. How do you define what's the moment of death? So Moshe writes in his tshuva, there was a big machlekes in America 80, 90 years ago. There was machlekes of a person is paralyzed and he usually puts tefillin on the left arm, and now the left arm is not functioning. Can he fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin by putting on the paralyzed arm? So many rabbanim said, no, it's a dead arm. So Moshe said, it's not true. Why? Because his father, I spoke about it recently, his father had a stroke because his father slept in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and it was freezing. His father was maisa nefesh to sleep in the sukkah, he was a masnagit. So he slept in the sukkah even when it's freezing. And then he got a stroke, and then ultimately he died a few weeks later. He died because of the chumrah to sleep in the freezing cold. So after his father had a stroke, he still continued to put the tefillin on his left arm. And his father was a big Talmid Chacham, so therefore he knows that's the din. So how did his father know? So he shows a Gemara in Becheris, that the Gemara in Becheris talks about an animal is pasul lekarbin if it's a balmum, if you have a mum begolui. If you're mum b'seisa, that's not a balmum. But if you're mechusar eiver, the psul amum only applies to behemoth, it doesn't apply to oifus. Let's say you have torimu b'nei yoina, and it's a balmum, that doesn't pasul. But if you have torimu b'nei yoina, it's mechusar eiver, missing a whole organ, so then it does pasul. Mechusar eiver is a big psul. So the Gemara discusses there, let's say the blood is no longer circulating to a toe in the animal. So the Gemara says, if the blood is not circulating in an irreversible fashion, let's say you put a tourniquet over there, so temporarily, the last 5 minutes, the blood does not circulate. Take off the tourniquet, so the blood will circulate. So that's considered as still circulating. But if it's you stopped the blood, you did it, or it happened by itself accidentally, the blood is no longer circulating in an irreversible fashion, so then it's considered as if that toe is dead, and the animal is considered mechusar eiver, because one of the evarim is dead. So Moshe says, you see from the Gemara, that if the left arm is only paralyzed, means that the nervous system is not functioning, but the blood is still circulating, so the blood is keeping those parts of the body still alive, so that's not a dead arm. But if gangrene set in, and if you cut the arm, it's not going to bleed. There's no blood circulating over there. Then the arm is considered dead, even though it's still attached. And then the arm will start to decompose at the same rate of decomposition after the person dies. Different parts in the body will decompose at a different speed, a different degree of decomposition. But if gangrene sets in an organ in the body, so it starts to decompose, even though it's still attached to the body. So when there's no blood circulating, the Gemara says, that's a definition of death. That's a definition of death on an organ. That's a definition of death on the whole Baal Chai. When do you say the person is alive? When is the person dead? So whenever the blood is still circulating, then the person is alive. Whenever the blood is not circulating, then the person is dead. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hutaz Rosha, if you have a person and someone chopped off his neck, so even if the head rolled over there and the person is still running away on his legs, on his feet, but he's dead already. So the Mishnah says he's already mitame, even though he's running around without a head, like a chicken without a head. They chopped off the head. The circulatory system has collapsed already. It chopped off the head. So it's like you have a building with six floors, and then you took out a pipe in the middle, so the whole plumbing system is broken. So over here also, he chopped off the neck, so the whole circulatory system has collapsed. So even though the person is still moving around, there's still movement, that's a reflex reaction that's not considered alive. The definition of alive or dead on an organ is whether the blood is circulating. That's Rav Moshe's Gemara in Becheris by Mechusar Eiver, and that's a definition of life or dead, alive or dead on the whole organism, on the whole person. He has a few tshuvas about that. There was a Talmid Chacham who thought, the Gemara says, Mishnah Flal of Mapolis. The guy was in a building, the whole building collapses on the guy. So you have to pull him out to bring him back to life. So the Gemara says, what if it's Shabbos and there's some kind of a malocha or another involved in taking all the bricks off of the person? what's the malacha? That's a shaila and rishonim. Is that a malacha deraisa, a malacha derabbanan? But it's some kind of an isa to take away all the bricks from the person to save his life. So, but if it's bikoach nefesh, so you're allowed to violate whatever is necessary in order to save his life. So you take off all the bricks and you find that the guy is not breathing. So if he's not breathing, then we declare that he's dead. How do you decide that if he's not breathing, he's dead? Where does that come from? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Parshas Noach that it says, "Kol shanishmas ruachaim bi'apov mikol shebecharova mesu." All the living animals that were breathing, they all drowned in the mabul, and they were all dead. Kol shanishmas ruachaim bi'apov. All the animals that were breathing through their nose, they all drowned. So one of the rabbanim in New York considered himself a very big Talmid Chacham. So there was a patient in a hospital who wasn't able to breathe through his nose, so they put a trach, he should breathe through his neck. So this Talmid Chacham said, he's not considered alive, he's dead, and you can pull the plug on him. Because the pasuk says, Kol shenishmas ruachaim biyapov, has to be breathing through his nose. So Rav Moshe wrote him a letter, has his name there. He says, are you crazy? What do you mean? The guy's breathing. He's breathing and the blood is circulating to all of the cells in the body. What is that? He says the nose is a nevesh haneshama kliyabo. The nose is a vital organ if the guy's breathing, so that the oxygen is being sent by the blood circulation to all the cells in the body, so he's still alive. Definition of life and death is that the blood is circulating the oxygen to keep the organism alive. If the blood is not circulating, then it's dead. What do you do? But the pasuk says like that. So the Chasam Sofer says that that pasuk is an asmachta. You shouldn't be medayg anything. That's an asmachta. That's not the real mucker to determine who's alive and dead is the pasuk that ki adam hu anefesh. The blood circulation is what keeps animals and human beings alive. Yeah.
So by definition, it doesn't have to be natural heartbeat. It could be an artificial heartbeat.
Al pi pashtas, yeah. As long as the blood is still circulating, yeah. Some of the Rabbanim came up with this idea that if the stem of the brain is dead, so the body doesn't have the ability to breathe independently on its own, and the definition of life and death is breathing, so breathing means independent breathing, so the guy's considered dead. If he's on a respirator, so if he's on a respirator temporarily, they put people on a respirator, then after a couple of days, he's normal. He'll live another Mary Es Mashonah. But if the person can't breathe on his own, even in the future, for the rest of his life, he's going to be on a respirator. So some of the Rabbanim say that's the definition of death, if you can't breathe independently. So the Pashta says that it's not correct. The Chasam Sofer says the comment that the Gemara said based on that pasuk in Parshas Noach, Kol shenishmas ruachaim biyapov, that was an asmachta. That's a similar dover that he's dead. But that's not the definition of life and death breathing. The definition of life and death is if the blood is circulating the oxygen, has to do with breathing. If the blood is succeeding and circulating the oxygen to all the cells of the body, then all the vital organs are alive. If you're missing non-vital organs, then you're still alive. But the blood has to circulate the oxygen to all the vital organs to consider the person alive. Okay, good. Now the Mishnah has halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. How do you do kisei adam? So they usually use sawdust. They usually use in the slaughterhouse, they use sawdust. It says be'ofer, you're going to have a sloppy mess. Whatever you're going to do is going to be a sloppy mess. But if you're going to use sand or earth, it's going to be a sloppier mess. So they use sawdust. So the Mishnah says ba'meh mechasen and ba'meh ein mechasen. What is acceptable? What's called offer? What can you use with kisei adam and what's not included in offer? So it says mechasen bezevel hadak or bechol hadak. Chol is sand. So chol, sand, sometimes you have big chunks of sand, and if you'll have a flower pot full of this chol hagas, big chunks of sand, you won't be able to, if you plant something, nothing is going to grow there. If you have chol hadak, if you have sand that's granulated and it's smaller particles, then zorim boya matzmich, then if you plant something it will be able to grow. Same thing zevel I think is a tzoya from odama beima. If you have manure, so if it's a solid piece of manure, zevel hagas, then zarim bavein and matzmich, nothing is going to grow. But if it's zevel hadak, if it's thin, then if you plant something, something will be able to grow. Or if you have sid, you had cement, and you made, let's say, you put cement on the wall. It's a solid chunk of cement on the wall, and that's how the whole solid chunk of cement fell off the wall. You're going to do kisya dam, put cement on top, cement on the bottom. Cement on top, cement on the bottom is not going to absorb the dam. So if you had sid, shekitchen, that you ground it up, granulated sid, then that's called offer. Or if you have charsis, you have a klicheris, earthenware vessels, and you broke it in big chunks, and you plant something, nothing is going to grow. It's only called offer when it's granulated. Or bilavein, or you have a brick. A brick is also made from sand, but the brick is a solid chunk. So if you're going to put seeds inside bricks, and nothing is going to plant, nothing is going to grow. Uba megufa. Rashi explains, you have a barrel, they used to have klicheris barrels, and they used to have a megufa, the lid. Was also made from klicheris, but they took earth. They made earthenware vessels, so it's a big chunk of earthenware. It's like a dish, like a china dish. So if kitchen, if you ground it up and it's tiny particles, then it's called offer. But if lo kitchen, avalei mechas, and you cannot do kisei adam lo bezevel hagas. If you have thick manure, nothing will grow there. Lo bechol hagas. If you have big fat chunks of sand, nothing will grow. If you have a brick or you have the lid of the barrel and you didn't grind it up, you didn't chop it up, tiny particle, nothing will grow. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. The rule is Zorim Boya Matzmich. The next time is Rabbi Shimon Hill says, it's only called offer if Zorim Boya Matzmich. If you plant something in this thing, you put a seed, it'll be able to grow. That's the property of offer. So anything that's similar is good. Apparently you can plant things in sawdust. I never tried it, but that's what the Gemara assumes, that sawdust is good. Yeah. The Gemara Taisus said, this is Taisus is quoted in Yeridei La'aloch and the Simen of Kisei Adam, either you need Dovah Shezorim Boye Matzmiach, that's called Ofor, or if you have something that's you have to know Tanakh, something that's called Ofor in Biblical Hebrew. Even if Zorim Bava Eina Matzmiach. Oh, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Afra Zohav Lo. Here on Amud Beis, it's around 13 lines from the bottom. Quote a pasuk from me of chapter Chav Ches. Afra Zohav Lo. So the pasuk refers to if you grind up gold and you make it into fine dust, even though nothing will grow. If you plant something in gold dust, nothing is going to grow. But the Chumash refers to Zohav, granulated Zohav, as offer. Or, let's say you burn paper, or you burn clothing, you burn material, and then you have ashes. So you have a pasuk in Chumash. Me'afar sreifas hachatos. When you have a paraduma, you have to burn it, and then you take the ashes. Then you mix the ashes into a bottle, into a container with water. And then you can use, that's called Kiddush Mechatos. You mix in a little bit of the Paraduma ashes into a container of water. So that water can be used for the purpose of Ehizah HaTohar Al HaTamei. You have to have Hazon Shlishi Shvi. And then the Tamei Mase is able to go to the mikveh and to become Tohar. So the Pasuk says that you take V'lokach Me'afar Sreif HaSachatos. Me'afar, it's not offer, it's ashes. Efer. Aleph Pei Resh is Efer, ashes. This is offer. So you see from the Chumash that when you burn flesh and you get ashes, you probably nothing can grow in it. So Taisa says you don't need Zorim Boye Matzmiach. If in Tanakh the thing is referred to as offer, then it's good. Then it's Lichisa B'offer. And if it's not referred to as offer, but it's Zorim Boye Matzmiach, then it is offer.
Avram says offer Eifa
Enochi. That's a Melitza. He said, I'm nothing. Like David HaMelech says, Anochi Tolas V'lo Yish. The Gemara is going to quote the whole episode. The Gemara is not worried.
I'm a great fan of that, but the offer and the was his grandfather's plan.
Yeah, the Beis Halevi has it. Beis Halevi has, yes, yes. So that's the Mishnah. What is acceptable for Kisei Adam? How do you know that that's the Chisei B'Ofer? Who says Chisei B'Ofer means has to be granulated to absorb all of the dam? Maybe it means you take a plate, maybe it means here's the dam, and you cover it over with a newspaper. You put something on top, so it's covered. So the Mishnah says, no, that's not acceptable. There are two kinds of v'chisohu. V'chisohu means it gets absorbed. The dam gets absorbed in offer, or you put something on top of the dam. So the Mishnah says, v'layich ba'ol avas hakeli klal. You shouldn't invert a kli on top of the dam. But there must have been tzedukim in the times of this Baisheni who interpreted the pasuk like that. So the Mishnah says you shouldn't do that at all, because that's totally a false pshat in the pasuk. Chiselu be'ofer means you have to cover over the dam in such a way that it's all going to get absorbed into the offer, not to cover it over with offer. To be covered shouldn't be exposed; it should be absorbed in the offer. Fine. Amram Shem Gamliel, he tells you what the klal is. He's not in disagreement. If you plant something in this material, that's legitimate, it's called offer, you can use it in kis adam. If nothing will grow, then it's not considered offer and it's not acceptable. So now the Gemara wants to know, how granulated does the sand have to be? The Mishnah said, chol agas is not acceptable, or chol adak is acceptable. So how dak is dak and how gas is gas? Hechadam chol adak. The Mishnah says Chol Adak is good, and then the Sefer says Chol Agas is no good. So the first comment, the first version the Gemara has is Echidami Chol Adak. When is considered thin, finely granulated sin? Amar Abba Babachon Rabbi Yechanan, the Pshat is Kol Shein Ayetz and Tzorch L'Kotcho. When someone is making some earthenware vessels, he has to have sand. He has to mix his sand with water. So if he has granulated Chol, sand, it's not called sand. What do you call on the edge of the sea? You call it sand?
Yes.
Also called sand. If you have that kind of sand and you can use it to make pottery, so that's only the manufacturer, earthenware kelim, will not have to grind it up further. Right? Another version has it. He said the exact same thing, but not on the Reisha, on the Sefer. The Sefer says, Avalei Mechasin. You're not allowed to use sand that's very thick, because it's the klal of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If it's thick sand, nothing will grow. If it's finely granulated sand, then things will grow. So the other version has it that Rabbi Babachana, he's from Eretz Yisrael, he quotes always from Rabbi Yechana, Hechidami chol agas, what's considered too thick that it's not acceptable? If the manufacturer wants to make earthenware vessels, we'll have to granulate it further. It's the exact same thing. No, the two versions are the same thing. Chol agas is no good. Chol adak is good. So what's the definition of chol agas? That the one who wants to make earthenware vessels, he wants to make, glass vessels, this is not good sand. He's going to have to grind it again. And when is it chol adak? If he doesn't have to grind it. So it's the same thing, the both versions are the same. Mar says, no, it's a slight difference. Well, did he give it as a definition of the reisha that chol adak is good? Or did he give it as a definition of the sefer, the chol agas is no good? Mar says, what's the difference? What he said on the reisha, slight difference. You have the sand, it crumbles a little bit in your fingers. It's not so thick that you can't break it. If you give a little push, it's going to fall to pieces. And it's tzarech lo tzarech. Sometimes the manufacturer of the earthenware vessels will feel it necessary that he has to grind it up a little more with his fingers. Sometimes he won't. So according to the one version, chol agas is no good if he absolutely will have to grind it further. But if this stuff, sometimes yes, sometimes no, it's in between dak and gas, so then it's dina kedak, and it would be good. According to the other version, no. Only if it's clearly chol adak, then it's good. If it's in between stage, sometimes yes, sometimes no, then it won't be good. So it's a question of degree. How fine does the sand have to be granulated that it should be considered zaren bo matzmir? Okay. We don't use sand. Okay. Tan Rabbanon, the Gemara gives on the middle line in the Mishnah. They can't, you shouldn't be kaif all of a sakeli. Tan Rabbanon, the Baruch Hu says, be'ofer. What do you mean? He said, yochi yechasen ba'avarim. Maybe you should put stones or bricks on top so the blood should not be exposed. No one should see it. But the bricks are not going to absorb the dam. It'll cover over the dam. It won't be exposed. Invert the pot on top of the blood so no one will see it. Is that the idea of the Mishnah, of the Mitzvah? Talmud Lama be'offer. V'chiso be'offer should be, the dam should be absorbed into the offer. Right. So that's, there must have been Karoim or Tzedukim and Mambayis who interpreted the Pasuk otherwise, and the Mishnah says, you shouldn't do that klal. Yechbalav sakeli klal, because the people will think that you're doing like the Tzedukim. So that must have been lahoitzim uliv mishalat zdukim. Then it says, "Vein liyalo offer." The Mishnah, the Pasuk only says you have to do kisa dam with sin. Minayin l'rabbis, how do you know that you can use anything that zorim boy matzmiach? So it says, "Minayin l'rabbis zevel hadak." If the manure is thin, the choladak, the sand is granulated thinly. Ushchikas avonim, you took stones and you ground them up, so it's like powder. Ushchikas charsis, you took a klicheris, earthenware china dishes, and you broke it up into teeny weeny pieces. So it's like it's again sand. Onoris pishtan daka, stuff. Pishtan grows, flax grows on a bush. So sometimes this stuff, when you pull the flax off of the bush, so sometimes there's some stuff caught over there that you can plant something in and it would grow. So that's all. But Elfa Zarba Matzmiach, that's acceptable. How do you know that all these things are good? Onisores Shal Charoshim. A Charosh is a person who uses a saw to cut wood. So you have sawdust.
A carpenter.
Huh?
A carpenter.
Carpenter.
Nagar.
What?
Nagar.
Nagar, yeah.
Nagar.
Yeah. So how do you know that you're allowed to use sawdust? V'sid v'charsis levena. Okay, if you have bricks and you have a gufash, a kitchen, if you ground it up and it's tiny particles, so everything is good. Tamlana v'chisel, everything is good. It doesn't have to be dafka offer. Anything that's sufficiently similar to offer. Yochashani marbe. Maybe once you say anything that's sufficiently similar, maybe even zeval agas v'chol agas and shchikas kli mateches, nothing is going to grow. If you grind up metal, nothing is going to grow. You have a brick, or the lid of the barrel, and it's an earthenware barrel. In the days of the Gemara, they used to hold wine in earthenware barrels, in Kli Cheres. Today they don't. Today they hold wine, I think, in wooden barrels. But in the days of the Gemara, they used to hold wine in Kli Cheres. So the Magufa, the lid, was also Cheres. So if you ground it up into tiny particles, thin particles like dust, then it's Zarim Boy Matzmir. But if it's low kitchen, you didn't grind it up, it's no good. You have a flower, you ground up flour, but nothing is going to go. If you plant, nothing is going to go. That's not offer. That's not offer, and it's not zarim boy matzmich. Tamlame be offer. Has to be similar to offer. How do you decide what's similar and what's dissimilar? How do you decide this is good, this is not good? Answer is, on the one hand, it says offer. So that's a miut. Only sand. On the other hand, it says v'chisoho, it sounds like anything that's mechasa is good. So we expand it. Offer is lav dafka offer, but it has to be dumya the offer. So that's what it says. Me'acha shiri ba'kos v'miyad. On the one hand, the pasuk is memayit, it says offer. On the other hand, the pasuk is marban, says v'chisoho. So I say a compromise. Marban yaseh l'shehem min offer. It's sufficiently similar to offer because zarim boy matzmiach. I exclude the other. She'ena min offer. Freg the Gemara. We have in the Midrash Torah and Rashi's family. The Brisa Rabbi Shmuel Lama B'yud Gemara Midrash Torah and Rashi's printed in the Siddur before Baruch Shamar. So one is klal prat to klal, and one so klal prat to klal yedarshin ke'ena prat. The Chumash has a few pratim in the middle, one or two or three pratim in the middle. So the din is whatever is similar to the ena prat in two details. So that's the din applies not only to the prat, but whatever's ke'ena prat. What if you have a klalu prat, like over here it says v'chisohu, and then it says be'offer. So v'chisohu sounds like you cover it with anything, and offer is limiting it. So if you have a klalu prat, we say em b'chlal ala masha b'frat. So how do you say it's riba on the one hand, on the other hand? On one hand, riba kosu v'chisohu. Any kis, on the other hand, it says offer. Sounds like only offer. So why do you say it's a ribui and a miut? So it has to be similar to offer. Apply the rule. Ein bechlal ala masha b'frat.
Isn't there a machloket between man d'arma one who holds roba meat doesn't hold klal
prat? Right.
So
that's what the Gemara is asking. According to the Tana, who's of the opinion, according to the Tana, who holds that klal prat prat to klal klal prat to klal. So then this should be, why do you say whatever sufficiently similar to offer, this should be a klal prat ema klal ala masha b'frat? That's the Gemara's kasha. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it was like that. Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Nochem Mishgamzu. He has a totally different tradition. It's not klal prat, it's ribe mit. And the Gemara shows what the differences are. So there's theories in Pesach Halacha. Usually when there's Machlokes or Rekiva Rabbi Shmuel, usually we pass like Rabbi Kiva. And here a lot of times we pass like Rabbi Shmuel Shittas. of Klal Prat. That's a major problem. How do you? There is stiris in the Rambam. Stiris galore. We have klalim. We have rules. How do you decide what to do? Halachik istam mishnah and other things. So these the klalim halachik istam mishnah contradicts the other klal that we usually pass like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, everything, there's no such thing as klal prat the klal. Ribi mid for ribi. Everything is different. So that's a major problem. It's a major problem in psak halacha. How did the Rambam decide how to pass? So that's the Gemara's question over here. You're working with a klal prat the klal within Rabbi Shmuel's guidelines. So why do you say me'achash riba kos of the miut? You have a riba and a miut, so you put them together and you marbe ke'ein whatever is sufficiently similar to offer that zarem boi matzmech. Why don't you consider with a klal prat? Hey, mechlala masha v'frat offer and mirech mini lo. Nothing other than offer should be acceptable. And for the Gemara, no. Amrav Mary, Mishum Dahavi Klal Hatzorach Leprat. Klal Hatzorach Leprat is not treated like a Klal Leprat. There's many Klal Hatzorach Leprat, so the Rashi explains what it is. You have a verb, Vichisohu. There are two ways to translate Vichisohu. Vichisohu can mean you cover it over, you put a newspaper on top. Or Chisohu can mean that you get absorbed into the thing that you're going to be Mechasa. So you need the next word, Be'ofer. To shed light on the word v'chiso doesn't mean to cover it over. I mean you should see to it that you should get absorbed in the offer. Be'offer. Be'offer. So that's called klal hatzarech leprat. I need the detail that's written later to shed light on what the verb means in the first place. What did the klal mean, v'chiso? Not to cover it over with inverted a kli. To invert a kli. No. It means you should have the dam absorbed in the offer. Be'offer. So that's called a klal hatzarech leprat. Is not treated, not nidon, not treated like a klal, like a klal leprat. Then the Gemara said that's the klal. Darish Amnachem Bar Avchizda, one of the Amraim said that's the din. You can only do kisei adam. That's the upshot of the whole brisa. He says that's the rule. If it's something that zarem boi matzmiach, if you plant something, it would grow. So then it's considered sufficiently similar to offer. Omar Rava, he says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I never heard of this guy. Menachem Bar Avchizda, what he said is not correct. Hi, Burchahu. He's a boor, he's an Amoritz, and what he said is not correct. Burcha means that it's not correct. So Rashi in a few places, Rashi here, Rashi in other Masech, the Rashi says it comes from the word boor. That the one who's talking is saying, Dibi boor is not so. The Gemara says, what's wrong? That is the klal. Omar Lei Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Le Rava, he said, what did he say? My Burcha say. Why do you say that it's wrong? I was the one who told it to this Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda, and it's based on all the Tanaim over here. I know I'm written Alei, Meho Masnit, I'm written Alei. I said it based on the following Bryce, and it is correct. That is the Klal. It depends on Zorah by Matzmeh. That's the way it's quoted in Yerubadeh. The Bryce reads, Hayimahalach Bamidbar, guy's traveling in the desert and he wants to shech the chicken and eat it. So there's sand in the desert all over the place. But the desert, Rashi said, the sand in the desert is so salty, nothing will grow. So what should you do? You have no, it's mamish offer, but it's not zarem by matzmiach. So it's not acceptable for kisei adam. It's not called offer. It doesn't have any sand that can grow. Lachasa is to do kisei adam. What should he do? So if he has a golden coin, let him grind the golden coin. How's he going to grind the golden coin in the desert? You have to have an instrument. Okay, I don't know. You have to be pretty strong to be able to grind with your fingers. Sheikh Din Azov Umechasa. Why? So Gemara is going to say, because you have the Pasuk in Iyov. The Pasuk in Iyov says, Afra Zovlo, that granulated gold dust is considered offer. Afra, it's fine. Or what happens? He's going on a boat and he wants to shech the chicken to eat it. Shech the chaya, okay. He doesn't have any offer on the boat. What should he do? So if he has an extra garment, serve talisa, let him burn a garment. And he'll do the kisadam with the ashes. So the Gemara says, Bish lema, the second din. And the Bryce says, serif talisa mechasa. That's good. Why? Even though ashes is not zarm by matzmich, nothing can grow. But in biblical Hebrew, ashes, it depends, what did you burn? Here you're burning a garment. Maybe you're burning food, it's zarm by vene matzmich. Tais makes a distinction. What are the ashes from? But at least if you burn cloth, that it's so that zarim by matzmech, that's acceptable.
Is that
what? Baltashkes, if there's no tzorech, if there's no toelis, but if you really you want to fulfill the mitzvah of kisei adam, so then we assume there's no baltashkes. There's a mishnah in Tomit that there used to be the Levim used to stand guard, palace guards in the Beis Hamikdash out of covet. So they and the shmirah is supposed to be at nighttime. In the daytime is no shmirah. Nighttime is shmirah. So the mishnah says if the one in charge of all the bishamim goes around in the middle of the night, sees that someone's sleeping on a job, sometimes in Wayu, the guards are sleeping in the middle of the day on the job. They're watching us. They're all sleeping. Yeah. So the mishnah says if you find the guard is sleeping, so he would take a torch and burn his shoes to teach him a lesson. The next time he learned his lesson, he's not going to fall asleep on the job. So the Pirush HaRosh on the side of Tom, he has the kashas that Bal Tashchis is burning the guy's leather shoes. And he says, since it's L'Toeles, you want to teach him a lesson that next time he does Shmiras Amin, you shouldn't fall asleep. Whenever it's L'Toeles, there's no Isar of Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis is when there's no use for it.
You shouldn't do that in
the way
you
want to
go
through. Yeah. So he says, Bishleim, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Bishleim, the second din in the Braisa, you burn the garment and you get the ashes. Ashkenefe dikri offer. You find the chumash that ashes, at least ashes from burning clothing, is called offer. So that's chisob offer. Eladin reizod minola. Why does it say in the Braisa that gold is acceptable? And for the Gemara, because it says Afra Zohav Lo, there is a pasuk in Tanakh. So that's why Nachman Yitzchak says that's the cloud. There are two things that are called offer. Either whatever is referred to anywhere in Tanakh is offer Ayin Pei Reish, or even if it's not referred to as offer, but if it's Zorah Bo Matzmiach, so he says what he said is correct. Rabbi shouldn't have gotten so excited. He says it's Boris. It's Burcha says Boris, not Boris. That is the correction. Tanra, one of the Brahis says, this whole issue is a machlokes b'shamay misil. So b'shamay are very restrictive over here. They hold emchasanala ba'ofer diri b'shamay. They say you can only yotz in the mitzvah. It's like a klala prat emchal masha b'frat. You can only do kis adam with offer, and you can't do sawdust. And we don't pass like b'shamay. B'shil alomim, matzinu eifa shikori offer, ashes are acceptable, shenema, v'lokhalatam me'afar sreifas achatos. And Beis Shammai sounds like they don't even hold from that. They hold the ashes is no good. Only literally offer. But it's a pasuk. Beis Shammai, what do you do with the pasuk? You see, the pasuk refers to ashes. Afar sreifas achatas. You're burning the flesh of the korbanos. Poraduma. You're burning the flesh of the poraduma. It's like a korban, but it's called achatas. You're burning the flesh of the korban, and the pasuk refers to it as af offer. And for the Gemara, it's not true. But Beis Shammai argue afar sreifa ikri offer stam lo ikri. And the pasuk, if Beis Shammai hold, the pasuk requires you have to have something, use something that's called offer stam. And ashes from burning flesh is not considered offer stam. It's called afar sreifa sachatas afar sreifa. So our practice is like Bishilu. Bishilu extended anything that's called offer in Tanakh and anything that's zorim by matzmir. So we follow Bishil. Tana, we have a later Braisa. We'll see if Aleim more. See, the Mishnah has a whole list of things that are acceptable. Then the Braisa added on more in the bottom of Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Braisa added on more. And then this is a later Braisa that the Tana added on more. This is the Tamid Bishilu. They're adding on more and more. Whatever is Zoran Boy Matzmich. So over the years, they kept on testing different things. So that's what the new Braisa says. Tana, there's a later Braisa. Asif Aleim, they added on more things. Ashachav Akhol, the Nikris Pisulim, Yisham Afas, all kinds of things, but that's the rule. Whatever is Zoran Boy Matzmiach is good, whatever is referred to in Tanakh, his offer is acceptable. Yeah. That's the Gemara. So now the Gemara till the end of the parak has Agadatim. So they say, they quote your Pasuk, that because we're talking about offer, so they quote the Pasuk that Avram Avinu says, Anochi offer va'efer. Omar Rava, because our Rav Avinu was praving anivus, humility, he says, I'm nothing, offer va'efer. Yitzchar Shomar Avram Avinu, Anochi offer va'efer. He didn't blaz von sich, he wasn't haughty, he felt that he's insignificant. So that's why the Jewish people who are the descendants of Avraham Avinu were blessed, Zochar Banim, his descendant Zecher, to the two mitzvahs, one Ofer and one Efer. What are the two? Efer Parah Aduma. He take Efer Parah Aduma to be Mitar people. And Afar Soto. These are the two mitzvahs. Nochi Ofer
Efer. Why is that a thing to be Zochar to Afar Soto?
Oh, so the Gemara is going to explain why. So the Gemara says, once you're saying what we were Zecher, Velach Shanami Afar Kisei Adam, it's also v'chisa be'offer. So because Avraham Avinu said offer, we're zeichet to the mitzvah kisa adam. Everything marnein. Hosam by kisa adam, hechshe mitzvah ike, it's a mitzvah of b'hanu aleka. You don't gain anything out of it, because when you shecht chai v'yof, even if you don't do kisa adam, it's still muta b'achila. L'chatchila, that's in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Yontav, quotes this from the Rabbein Hananel on the first perek in Beitza, that l'chatchila you really shouldn't eat the flesh of the chicken or the chaya. Calls man, you didn't do Kisei Adam. We consider Kisei Adam as the Gemara of the Shechita. That's where you had the Tosfos on the top of Pezayin Amud Aleph, Mishnah Berurah Behadad Adi Leyepsher. So Tosfos interpreted that's the gist of the whole Gemara. Kisei Adam is the Gemara of the Shechita. Like you say, Rabbi Simon Baum Benchen is the Gemara of the meal. So Kisei Adam is the Gemara of the Shechita. So Chula Chatchil Yishad Ni. But Meikar Adin, Rashi says, it's really Mutta Bachila. The flesh, the Chai V'yof is Mutta Bachila, even if you don't do the Kisei Adam. So we wanted to say that the Jewish people were zeche to a mitzvah that gives hanoah. So what are the two mitzvahs that give hanoah? So one is efer parah. If a person is tamei, he uses efer parah to be metar him. He wants to become tor. And afar soita, the woman is asur al baila. If she had kinu estira, she's not allowed to live with her husband. So you have to bring her to the Beis Hamikdash. So the afar soita. And he mixes the offer from the floor of the Mishkan, he mixes it into the Maim Hamarim. It's not poisonous, it doesn't taste good, but there's nothing poisonous there. And she drinks it, and a miracle was promised to Lederis, that whenever you'll do this, if she's guilty, she'll get sick and she'll die. There's no cause, but Derech HaTeva, that she should get sick.
Does this Gemara go against what we always call Istanko Bavaisa Baruch HaOlam? That tired
misses
were before in the
Bria Sa'olam.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. The Gemara sounds like, as a reward for Avraham Avinu's humility and the expression that he said, Ofer v'Efer, that's why we were Zecher, as if the mitzvah was formulated by Ribbono Shel Olam after Avraham Avinu said it. That's what it sounds like. I don't know. You have to look in the Mefarshim, it's a very good question.
I know that. Ribbono Shel Olam got the mitzvah, but now it's like zechus for him, for Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu now gets the zechus of every time we do the mitzvah. That uh-huh. You know, it was brought about through him, but it would have happened either way.
So that's a good sermon. Rabbis say good sermons. Okay, could be that that's the pshat. Okay, so the Gemara says that afar kisi adam, that's a mitzvah, but we don't gain anything out of it. Because the flesh was mutabachid, even if you didn't do kisi adam. But the efer parah brings tahara, and afar soita patches up the marriage. She's materis lebaila. She drinks the mai mamarim, and nothing happens. So the Torah promises a miracle.
Is there any reason not to say that the kisi adam is done out of respect for the nefesh that has been shechita as a symbolic burial?
Could be. I mean, the dam represents the life of the animal, so out of respect for the life of the animal, you should kiss your dam. Could be. Could well be. I don't know. You have to look in the Svarim on Tamei HaMitzvahs. Could be that they give that as a tam. Yeah. So the Gemara was talking about the humility of Avraham Avinu. They're going to continue about humility, but then now they say another. V'yomar Rabbi said another member. Avraham Avinu was rewarded not only because of his humility, he said, off of Efer. When there was the Muhammad, the five kings were subservient to the four kings. They were paying taxes for years and years. And then they rebelled, and they started a whole Muhammad, and the five kings lost the war. So the four kings won everything. So Avraham Avinu's nephew Lot was living in one of the five towns. So he felt bad, he has to save his nephew. So he went, he waged the war, and he won the war. So he was kind of all, when the four kings beat out the five kings, they were kind of, there's a principle of Kibish Muhammad. So they acquired ownership of all of the property of the five towns. Then when Avraham Avinu waged war against the four kings, and he won the war, he acquired ownership of all of the seven of the five and the four, of all of the nine towns, everything belonged to him. So Melech Sodom, and then it says Malkisedek Melech Shalom came along, and then Avraham Avinu, Vayitano Ma'isa Mikol, Avraham Avinu Malkisedek Melech Shalom was Shem Ben Noach, and he had a yeshiva. That's how the Gemara said he had a yeshiva. So Avraham Avinu donated Ma'isa Ksafim to support Shem's, that's yeshiva Shem Yeva. So he gave Ma'isa Ksafim, Vayitano Ma'isa Mikol. So Melech Sodom sees that he's so kind that he gives Ma'isa Ksafim to support the yeshiva, so he says, I used to be a king, and now I'm always king, because you acquired ownership of everything. I beg of you, maybe make me back a king. I'll be din, you own everything now, you own all the nine cities, but maybe I used to be a king, so give me back my kingdom. Give me a maton also. Avraham Avinu said, I'm going to give you back everything, I don't want anything here. Rashi says, Shalei Ratzi Lohanes Mena Gezel. That's the top line of Rashi. Why is it Gezel? Why is it Gezel? The answer is, when you wage war, the property of the nine kings belonged to them originally. That's an international rule. The Gemara in Git learns it out. Kibush Muhammad. Whenever one country wages war against another country, the country wins the war, whether Beheta, Beisa, whoever wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property. So it's really an act of Gezel. Here Avraham Avinu, he went to save his nephew Lot. And it turns out that he won the war, so he acquired the ownership of all of the nine cities. So he says, my sixth and my mechayv to give. I just came into wealth, have to give my sixth to the yeshiva. But he says, all the rest I'm going to give back. I don't want to be nana from Kibush Muhammad. In a certain sense, it's Gezel. He was mutter for him to do it because he wanted to save his nephew Lot. But it's still, Shiratza Lohanes Min HaGezel. So because Avraham Avinu made a Kiddush Hashem, and he didn't want to keep, even though, strictly speaking, legally, according to international law of Kibush Muhammad, he had the right to keep all of the property of the nine kingdoms, he gave everything away. So, Bishar, as a reward that he's made a Kiddush Hashem, Zochu Banav, the Jewish people, the descendants of Avraham Avinu, was Zechu the Shtei Mitzvahs. Which two mitzvahs? Luchut Shal Tcheles, Tzitzis, the strings for Tcheles, and Tzitzis, Eretzua Shal Tfilin. Because Sroch Nal, if you ever saw a chalitza shoe, so this, they don't have strings, shoelaces, they have shoe straps. Mamish like Ritzuas of Tfilin. So they used to have shoe straps that are mamish like Ritzuas. So because of Rabbi Avinu refused to take chut of his eloshin, chut at Sroch Nal, his descendants and Jewish people, the zechut to a mitzvah where you use strings, the mitzvah tzitzis, and the zechut to the mitzvah where you use something that's similar to shoe straps, namely the straps are Ritzuas of the Tvilin. So the Gemara says, and what's the big hanor that we get from that? The Gemara said before, you want to say Zochu Banav to a mitzvah that has not only a mitzvah, that has some kind of hanor. So what's the hanor that you get? So Bishlema Tvilin is hanor dichsivi of a pasuk. Baruch Alam Eretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alech V'yor Memech, when the Brisa says Eile Tvilin Sheberosh, and the Jewish people wear Tvilin, so the Umasai Lam Si, and they don't start up with us. They don't start up. So that tefillin has a hanor, not just the mitzvah, has a hanor. Aluchot shel tzitzis, what do you gain by having tzitzis? So the Gemara says, oh, isn't it just plain old mitzvah? Gemara says, no, this is a fantastic mitzvah. Why did they say chut shel tcheles? They should have said chut shel tzitzis. No, the chut shel tcheles. Why? What's the hanor that we get? Mayhi detanya, Rameir, man ishtan atcheles mikol atzivani. Why did the Torah insist we should use this color of blue? Because tcheles damal yami, yam damal rekiva, kima damal kisi akavet. That's what he says finally. Yeah, the most kisei. So when you look at the tcheles, you're reminded of the kisi akavet of the Roshim. So that's fantastic. That's not stama mitzvah. That's why he didn't say chut shel tzitzis. Chut shel tzitzis is a mitzvah, but chut shel tcheles, because tcheles dame le kisei hakavod, so that's a tremendous hanor that you get. So that's what the Gemara says, because Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik, so his descendants, the Jewish people, were zecher to all of these mitzvahs. Okay, then the Gemara is going to continue. Okay, let's stop here. In this week's Sedra, we have the din that Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamei L'Meisim unless it's one of the seven relatives, the Zayin Kroivim. And then it says, if the Kohen's sister died, Lo Yitamo. So the Pashup Shadr is, he's permitted to be Metamei, he's permitted to go to the funeral. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim that was repeated generation after generation. They had the same machlokes. Lo yitame means a rishus. If he wants to, he can attend the funeral. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Or should be interpreted, lo yitame chayva. The kohen is obligated to go to the funeral. So the last time they had this machlokes, it was Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. When we learned Saita, Dav Gimel, Amaral, the Gemara quoted three psukim where there was machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, whether it's a chayva or a rishus. So we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Lo yitame is a chayva. What is the chayva? So the Gemara in Brochus has a whole sugya in Avchav, covered abriyas. This happens to be Kavod HaMeis, but there's more so, Kavod HaChayim is odif, more chomer than Kavod HaMeis. Whenever you have a conflict, a contradiction between Kavod HaChayim and Kavod HaMeis, so Kavod HaChayim takes precedence. The Gemara in the second parak in Ksuba says if you have a group of people are going with the Chasen Kala to celebrate their wedding, or Shever Brochus, whatever, a group of people are going on a different road to go to the funeral to bury a Meis, and they come to a crossroads, and they can't go at the same time, and there's no red light, green light. So who has the schutz to go? So the Gemara says the Kavod HaChayim takes precedence over the Kavod HaMeisim. Since the Chasen Kala is the Kavod HaBris of living people, so even though Kavod HaMeisim is a mitzvah, Lo Yitam is a mitzvah, Kavod HaChayim takes precedence over Kavod HaMeisim. What is it based on Kavod HaBris? That even by Meisim, Kavod HaBris is based on the assumption that man was created B'Tzelem Malakim. The Poshet and Mishnah implies that both Jews and non-Jews were created by Tzelem Elokim. So Kol Zman, the person is alive. You have to have Derech Eretz, everybody, because he has a Tzelem Elokim in him. The Chumash says if it's a Jewish person who died, so even Lachamisa, there's also a din of Kavod HaBris. That's a Chiddush. By Nochrim, you don't have. By Jews, there's a mitzvah of Kvura. Kavod HaMeisim, there's a mitzvah. By Nochrim, while they're alive, and if they're observing the Sheva Mitzvahs, so they deserve Kavod HaBris because they have a Tzel Malakim. So you have to have the Acheretz with the Tzel Malakim. After he dies, no more Tzel Malakim. And garnished, gone. By Jews, even after he dies, there's still a din. They still need Kavod HaBris. That's the added Chiddush. Kavod HaBris is an important principle. The Meiri, in his Hagdamah to Shas, quotes a Medrash that the different versions in the Medrash have with the Aseres HaDibris written on the Luchas. So we usually on an Aron Kodesh, we have on the Parochas, you have Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey, and Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yud. We have five on one side, five on the other side. The other opinions hold that it's not so. All 10 were written from 1 to 10, and each one, on each of the four sides, there were two luchas, and they were independent. Moshe Rabbeinu had one luch on the right hand, one luch on the left hand. Each one was a cube. Amma, Amma, Amma. It was a cube. Amma, Bayan, Amma, Bayan, Amma. So one opinion was all Aseres HaDibros were written on all four sides of the both luchas. It was written 8 times, in other words. So that was written 8 times. And then the way we have it, that's one opinion in the Medrash, that 1 to 5 was written on one luch, and 6 to 10 was written on the other luch. So the Miri quotes a Medrash that there's a relationship between 1 and 6, or between 2 and 7, and so on. Those that are parallel to each other relate. So he explains, Loi Sirtzach is number 6, is connected with Anochi Hashem Elokech. We believe in God. We believe God created man, B'Tzelem Elokim. So Lo Sirtzach, you're not allowed to kill any human being because you're pogay, you have to have covered for the person. He has Tzelem Elokim. Then you have, he explains the rest. The second is, you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah because it's like Lo Sinof, just like a couple is married. So the wife is not allowed to have an affair with anybody other than her husband. So we are married with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not allowed to dance to any other tune, any other Avodah Zarah. We have to have monotheism. There's only one God in heaven above, and that's all. And then he goes to explain all the rest. How come 3 is connected with 8, and so on and so forth. But the 1 and 6 are connected. That's because Lo Sirtzach is based on Tzelem Elokim. If you believe in God, and that God created man with Tzelem Elokim, how can you harm another person? It's like you're demonstrating as if you don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't believe in Tzelem Elokim. So this is the mocker. The Gemara has a whole sugi about Kavod HaBris, Kavod HaChayim, Kavod HaMeisim. Kohanim are not allowed to be mitame, but Mishum Kavod HaBris, they are permitted to be mitame. We have rules and regulations. When is Kavod HaBris Dechav and not? So over here, it's a Chiddush, because the Issa Toysis Ekton, the Issa Tumas Kohanim, is a Issa Sheina Shava Bakol, only Kohanim are Muzer. Non-Kohanim don't have this prohibition not to be mitame the Meisim. So since it's a weaker Issa, so Kavod HaBris is Deicha and Issa. Usually Kavod HaBris is not Deicha and Avera. It's only Decha de Rabbanan. It's not Decha Mitzvah de Reis and B'Shem de Altas. But it's not Decha Naver. Here the Aver is an Aver Kala. It's a Lav Shein Hashav Bako. But this is an important klal. The principle of Kavir Abiyas sometimes has the power to permit us to violate Dinim in the Torah. Some people have a mistake. They think a person is in a business meeting and he didn't daven mincha yet, so he's embarrassed to go out to daven. So Kavir Abiyas, he's embarrassed. So Kavir Abiyas is Decha Dinim de Rabbanan. So mincha is only de Rabbanan. He doesn't have to go daven. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was ridiculous. Where's the Kavir Abiyas? I mean, he's embarrassed that he's Jewish. Kavir Abiyas means he's going to have to walk naked in the street. Let's say a kohen doesn't have any clothes on and they announce that someone died in the building. So there's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Does he have to run out of the building undressed? Or do you allow him to stay 2 minutes till he puts on some clothes? So that's Kavir Abiyas. He's going to walk out without any clothes. A person goes to the Beis HaKisi on Shabbos. So he doesn't wipe himself off. So he's going to smell. So it's going to be Kavir Abiyas. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But he doesn't have any toilet papers. He's going to have to do a malacha to take avonim. Tiltal muktzah is going to have to break some avonim. He's going to do a malacha. So if it's only the rabbanans, tiltal and a karmelis, only the rabbanans, so we allow. That's called Kavir Abiyas. He won't have the basic dignity that all human beings are entitled to. But he's embarrassed to show the people that he wants to daven mincha. That's not Kavir Abiyas. Let him not be layerish mitnei amaligim olav. That's the first sif in Shulchan Aruch Harachaim. You shouldn't be embarrassed because people are laughing, making fun of you that you're a religious Jew. That's not called Kavir Abiyas. Kavir Abiyas, he won't have the basic dignity that every human being is entitled to. But it's an important klal, Kavir Abiyas.
Someone said that they saw in Shiva, you want me to